You're listening to Speak, Lord. I'm Ryan Rogers. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. As I read these verses, notice the theme of giving and the beautiful ways it calls us to be givers all throughout the text. Verse 6 says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That is full of beautiful insights and promises for those who want to live their life giving. It is a state of being full, filled up by God, so that we have something to give to those around us. And it is a high level of maturity. As we develop in Christ, a very developed maturity is going to be marked by giving, by generosity. This is an ultimate act of love. When we're introduced to the gospel in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. It was the incredible amount of love. God so loved the world. How much did he love the world that he had this action of giving himself? We're building off of concepts from the last 2 weeks. There's been a framework of maturity that I've been trying to communicate that means something to me, and I'm hoping it can mean something to you. And it builds off, each one builds off the next. There's a lot of ways that you can mature in Christ. Here are three things that I have found up my level of maturity in any situation. The first is to value myself. Second is get over myself. Third is to give myself. So I'll just say it to you. Value yourself. Get over yourself. Give yourself. And giving is, as we're seeing in this episode, is the pinnacle. It's where we want to be. It's the goal of maturity, that we can live in a way that we are adding value, that we're thinking about how could I contribute here? What could I offer here? And it just doesn't happen unless we reach the level of maturity that we get over ourselves. And we don't get over ourselves until we reach the level of maturity that we value ourselves. So they all three come together. If you haven't listened, go back and catch those episodes. You want to get to a place where you can give, and you don't do it just by giving. You do it by being matured to the place that it overflows out of willingness, because you know where your value is and you know that it's not about you. So you're just ready to show up and give. This is a Bible theme all throughout, because God is love and love gives. I'm going to highlight just a few other places in Scripture that they have some strong insight on how giving works. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 13:3. It's a reminder that giving in itself is not valuable. It's only valuable when it springs from the true motive of love. It says this: if I give all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I have gained nothing. So it's not mature just that I give, but that I love in a way that wants to give. And when we do, there's a life of blessing. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is what is said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, you must help the weak and remember the words of Christ Jesus. So first he's saying, live your life working hard, helping, giving, be a contributor. And then he says, remember the words of Christ Jesus, how he said himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What a blessing it is to receive. When we need it and it's given, it's a blessing to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. It's a fun verse because we don't actually have a written place in Scripture where Christ said those words, but they remembered him saying those words. It's just a reminder that there are amazing teachings that Christ gave that never got recorded in our Scriptures. One of them is this: it is more blessed to give than to receive. And here's the promise on tithing. So one of the giving aspects of our life is giving financially to the work of God. And he's asked us, he's required us to give 10% of our increase back to him. And this reminds us that it all belongs to him. Here's the incredible promise in Malachi chapter 3. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down such a blessing that there will be no more need. He says, I'm going to bless you in such a way that you no longer need to ask, because when we give, God notices and he blesses the giver. Any situation we're in is blessed by a willing heart to give, to share, to contribute. So you do something with your life. You go somewhere for work or school or to give to others. And I want to call you to do that through the lens of giving. I'm just going to take the example of a nurse. That might be what you do. It might not be what you do, but it can relate. A nurse can do their job without maturity. They can do their job without a heart to give. And they can get the task done. They could show up because they have this insatiable need to feel valued, and work meets that need for them. They feel like they're valuable when they're depended on by patients. And so their work in serving others is really all about trying to make them feel value. They care for patients because they feel worthless and numb unless they fill it with activity and get affirmation for it. The motive there is their desperate need to feel valued, not a heart to give. They're doing the same job. They're doing it really immaturely. You can show up to work, do the tasks all out of pride, and you can do a very fine job, and you can get pats on the back because you're achieving at a high level, but it's all about making decent money, knowing that others couldn't have done what you're doing. In fact, many of your friends dropped out of nursing school, and so you feel a superiority, like you're there to prove that you are the best. You're getting the job done, and you're getting it done in a way that's all about you. There are ways to show up that appear to give, but they're really lacking the maturity to value themselves, to get over themselves. You can do the same thing as a giver, and you can see that patient and that opportunity and that moment as a chance for you to be a blessing. How could I give in this situation? How could I give a listening ear and give my time and give my expertise? It's the same job. It's a different world to live in. Be a giver. Life is so much more rich that way. The opposite is to be a taker. And you might know someone like that. I've heard the term that fits: energy vampire. They are someone who fuel themselves by sucking it out of you. They are taking from everyone around them, and that's how they get their energy to do life. And this is such an isolating and abusive and ugly way to do relationships. It makes everyone around you feel empty, used, abused. You are going through life looking for any handout, anything free. You'll take any offer that puts someone else out because you have conditioned your life to be a taker. I want to encourage you, be a giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Look to contribute. Find deeper satisfaction in sharing than in taking. And this is not a boring way to live. This is an adventure way to live. It's not aimless, but it has purpose because everywhere you go, you have an objective. How could I give here? How could I add value right here? If you're in an awkward conversation, rather than being bored, you could say, I could give a listening ear. You're at a frustrating board meeting and you just want to get out of there. And you could say, you know, I could volunteer my time or give a constructive comment to help move things along. How could I give here? You're in a struggling relationship and you feel really hurt, but instead you say, I know they feel hurt too. And I want to give some space and I want to give some encouragement. And you become a giver in all these other places that would have been a waste of time now become a mission opportunity for you. You're there to give something. How could I serve rather than just insist on my own way? You're not just doing a task. You are presented with an opportunity to add value in the task you give. What am I doing? I'm not just changing a diaper. I'm giving. I'm not just speaking. I'm giving. I'm not just filing papers. I'm giving. I'm not just parenting. I'm giving. To whatever other task you are doing, you are primarily being a giver. You're adding value. You're contributing because God has called you to live a life as a giver. And if you look for the opportunities, they're everywhere. There's an opportunity, an appropriate opportunity to give advice, to give your time, to give a hand, to give the gift of presence. Give a compliment, give a hug, give perspective, give a donation, give encouragement, give yourself. You might try using these three levels of maturity as a way of troubleshooting when situations are going wrong. So if something's not working out, you might ask yourself, is this going bad because I am not valuing myself here and I need to return to that basic level and remember that I have value? Or maybe things aren't going right and could it be that I have not gotten over myself, that I've just made this all about me and that's why it's not working out? And if I could just go back to that basic, things might align right. Or maybe things aren't working out because I'm not giving. And I'm showing up to take, I'm showing up to get what I can, but I forgot and just gotten off track, and I'm not showing up to contribute and be a giver. Maybe one of these things will tell me where I got off track and why things aren't working out in this specific situation. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2 as a way of reviewing and drawing conclusion to this three-part series. The steps were, first, value yourself. Then, get over yourself. And finally, give yourself. And I see all of those in Philippians 2. I'll pause my reading of the text to highlight them. It starts like this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from his love, any participation with his spirit, any affection and sympathy, that's where it starts, being comforted by his love and having encouragement in Christ, knowing that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We're going to lay that first foundation level. We are valued. Then it says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the very form of God, did not count equality something to be grasped, but emptied himself. All right, so all of that is a picture of Christ getting over himself. And because he got over himself, it says he emptied himself, taking on the form of the servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because he valued himself and because he got over himself, he was able to give himself. And because he gave himself, you and I are going to live forever. That's the result of giving. Be a giver. Give life. Value yourself. Get over yourself. Give yourself. How is God speaking to you? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Well, thank you so much for listening to Speak, Lord. And as always, you can find all of our episodes by searching for Speak, Lord, wherever you get podcasts. And you can find more from me at PastorRyanRogers.com.